This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, September 28, 2014, the 15th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. Only 28 through 30 are parable. That's the only part that's a parable. Jesus gets very personal after that. We'll get to that in a second. Let's look at the parable a little bit. Again, parables giving us a picture of God and of us. It says there was a man who had two sons. This man, of course, this father, he is who? God, right? It's God. Tells us something about God. God, we have to start here. God prefers to be loved as a father rather than feared as a Lord. I mean, it is well within God's prerogatives to, you know, being God and all whatnot, to look at everybody and say, guess what? I'm God. This is what you'll do. And if you don't do it, guess what? Badness. Okay? He's never like that. You hear a lot of people, oh, that Old Testament God, that ogre God, that one who's always waiting to zap people from his throne. That's not even the Old Testament. That first reading we had today was from the Old Testament, from the prophet Ezekiel. And it does, at the beginning, talk about, hey, your ways are unjust. Then he goes on to talk about the mercies of God. He is a merciful God. He does prefer to be loved. He is our Father. Your fathers love. Most of our fathers love us. But when you think about that love, if a father truly loves a son, or a mother loves her children, do they always ask their children to do things? No. I hope not. If you're a father or mother worth your salt, you don't always ask your children to do things. Sometimes you have to tell your children to do things. You kids out there, you know that. Clean your room. Do your homework. Not a suggestion. Okay? You know that, probably. God is the same way. There are things God asks of us. You know, these works of supererogation, these things that go over and above what He wants. You know, they're good things. Not necessary, but they're good. They are to our spiritual benefit. God asks us to do some things like that, but there are other things that God tells us to do. We are the sons, and it's how we respond is where He's going in this parable. How to respond. There's two sons here. The first son, again, not a suggestion, not asking him to do something. Son, today, go out into the vineyard. No, I won't do it. That was probably said when his father was out of earshot. You kids know that in two. And those of you who are older remember how that was. Yeah, I told him. Yeah. Anyway, he responds, I will not. I will not go out and work. Guess what? He goes out and works. All right? If you're blazing through this because you know the parable, you can kind of lose sight of the fact it doesn't say, he said he wouldn't, then he did. It's that he said he wouldn't, then he repented, and then he went out. There's this idea of repentance there. Repentance, again, I always emphasize our definition of repentance. It is not you're sorry for something. It is turning away from that. He was belligerent to his father. He was disrespectful. And then he was sorry for that, and he did what his father asked. Not because he obviously not worried about punishment, but he just did. You know, we don't know the nuances of that whole thing, but the bottom line is he repented and went out. So never lose sight of that fact of repentance when we're looking at this parable. The second son, again, he's Mr. Lip Service to things, you know. Hey, son, go out today and work in the vineyard. Yes, sir. And he doesn't. There are a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people who say that they'll do something, play lip service to it, but then they don't do it. I'll get into that in a little bit. But in this case, in the parable, that's who he is. Maybe he doesn't refuse. He doesn't say, you know, You know, he thought in the back of his mind he wouldn't. He said he would, and then he just didn't, for whatever reason. The crux of the matter in this whole thing is that it doesn't matter whether your words are positive or negative, whether your words are belligerent or paying lip service to someone. Words are not enough, one way or another. Words are not enough. Deeds are required. Deeds are not suggested. Deeds are required. We can't proverbially walk the walk or talk the talk and not walk the walk. You have to do. That's the bottom line. You could talk till you're blue in the face, and it's meaningless. You could talk about all kinds of things. Nothing gets done unless you do something about whatever. That's what this parable is talking about. Words not being enough, deeds being required. Okay, that's the parable. Then I said Jesus gets a little bit personal. Jesus gets very personal. He looks at these religious leaders of his day, and he looks at them directly. It says, he did the will of his Father. Of course, that's a no-brainer, right? Which is usually how he presents things to the Pharisees, and then they tell on themselves, you know. Which one did the will of his Father? The first. Again. Duh. No-brainer, all right? Everybody knows that. But then he looks at them, and I mean, he just immediately goes into this John the Baptist thing. They're like, where the heck did that come from? What's about John? You know, he's telling a parable about these two sons, and then he starts talking about John the Baptist. He's getting very personal and very direct. He says, speaking of John the Baptist, he says, he came to you. He didn't say, in the context of this parable, if John had said this to them or that, he looks at these people after this parable, when they've kind of set the stage for this, he said, John the Baptist came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't hear him. Because remember, they have just answered the question. They said which son was righteous, the one who did what his father said. And then he starts talking about John the Baptist, which is fresh in their minds. John has recently been killed. He's fresh in their minds. He knows who they are. He said, John the Baptist came to you in the way of righteousness. What is this way of righteousness of which he's needling them? What was the proclamation of John? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Speaking about the Christ, his cousin, who was going to come shortly after him. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, this imminence of God's kingdom in the person of Jesus Christ, and repentance, turning away from the way the old things were, turning toward the kingdom of heaven, which is Jesus Christ. That was what John proclaimed. It's a very simple presentation of the gospel. And you know it's authoritative because our Lord Jesus Christ uses the same one. Every time he opens his mouth publicly, he starts out his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But as opposed to John the Baptist speaking of it as someone's going to come, Jesus says it speaking of himself. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is before you. It is here. You know, he's trying to emphasize with the Pharisees, again, in this whole idea of deeds overcoming words, whether the words be positive or negative, practicing what you're preaching. John the Baptist did indeed preach it. He preached and proclaimed, repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but he lived it also. He practiced what he was proclaiming. He practiced what he preached, so to speak. The conformity to the divine will makes a man righteous. That's what makes a man righteous, conformity to the will. That's what he's emphasizing in this parable. That's what he's emphasizing to these Pharisees personally. But guess what? If it was just about the Pharisees and the religious elders of his day, guess what? We wouldn't know about it because it would be just for them. But guess what? It's in Scripture. Why? Because the question is posed to you. To each and every one of us as individuals, Jesus is asking us the same question. Not which one did the will of his Father, but which son are we? It's about self-examination. He's talking to you. And you can kind of lose it if you jump tracks and go, well, you know, he's ever asked me to go work in a vineyard. It's a parable, okay? It illustrates something. There are foundational truths of our faith, for instance. Okay? That Jesus doesn't suggest, our Father doesn't ask us to do, he tells us to do. whether directly or indirectly through the traditions of the church, capital T. What's that? How about mass attendance? It's not suggested. Son, go to mass every Sunday. Yeah, there are some out there. I won't. I don't have to. I go when I can. I got, yeah, obligation, whatever. All right? Go to mass every Sunday. Every Sunday. All right? Or the vigil, however that pans out for you. Yeah, that's something God tells you to do. Son, go to confession at least once a year. That's an easy task. I will not. That's a big response to that one. I will not go to confession once a year. It's what? It's not a suggestion. He's asking. Maybe if you want to get into the parable of going to work in the vineyard, where is the vineyard for us out there? It's not handing out tracts or knocking on doors. It's just living a Catholic life. Being different from everybody out there so they know that you're very different from them. That's working in the vineyard. Oh no, I don't talk about my faith. I don't like to go there. That's not what I'm... It doesn't matter if that's where you are or not. If you're a person of faith, that's something that you've been told to do. You're told to do that. That's where the question comes in. You know, and it, how many hours can I stand up here and give us all this list of things that we're supposed to do? That's not the crux of the matter. Yeah, you can step away from, and yeah, in a respect, this is sort of a moralistic sermon, but even more so, it points to something much more deep than that, and that's the mercies of God. Because when this father's dealing with these two sons, never once, the one son said this, and he did finally do this, and so the father was happy with it. That, what the father's reaction is, it's not involved in this discussion. It's self-examination. Who does the will of their father? And Christ's mercy. The mercies of God. I pointed it out in the Old Testament reading today, and that the first son, he was haughty at the very beginning. I'm not going. Proud. I don't have to do that. Nobody can tell me what to do. I don't have to listen to what the church says. You know, I know they got rules, but you know, the salad bar, yeah, I like this over here, I like that over there, but I don't like that, I don't like that. It's not how it works. All right? It's not a suggestion. But the haughty think they don't need to do that. I don't need to go to confession. I don't do anything. Guess what? Just not going to confession once a year, you're in mortal sin. And then every time you receive communion after that, that's a mortal sin compounded on that. So we can sit and talk about, I don't need to go to confession once a year. It's not a suggestion. You're told to do that. The haughty don't think they have to. The haughty think that they can do whatever they, you know, I got this going on Sunday, so I'm going to miss Mass. If it's not something imperative, a work of mercy, a sickness, an illness, or something like that, guess what? You got to be here. All right? The haughty think they don't need to. That aside, it's about His mercy. What He's stressing right here is that penance and conversion can set people on the road to holiness. Not just being looked upon as favorable, but actually on the road to holiness, even if they have been living apart from God for their entire lives. No matter how long you've been separated from Christ. No matter how long you haven't been in conformity, and you know in your head what you haven't done, where you're lacking. You know, those kind of questions are what you have to examine yourself every single day to make sure you're where you should be. But it doesn't matter how long. Why? It doesn't matter belligerence toward God. He's waiting for you to be like that first son, and no matter what you said or did, to repent and go about your business and do what He says. That's someone who does the will of their Father. That's the question that Jesus asks you. That is the question that we have to ask ourselves every single day. Like I said, no matter how long you've been involved in this, that, no matter how horrible in your sight it is, there's nothing new under the sun. Why you've done it, that's not the question. Who cares why you did it? Even a state of belligerence. And there's things that can happen in people's life that make them shake their fist at God. Why did you do this? Why did... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as long as that repentance is there and then proceeding in the will of the Father. Words are not enough. Whether you hear words read words or speak words. They are absolutely meaningless unless you have works. They're absolutely, because works manifest the words that we hear, that we speak, that we read. Works actually manifest that it's getting inside. That's what Jesus wants us to know, and he wants us to examine ourselves about that. So, what do you think? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.